Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thank you for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. We're having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen, the publisher, the author, the cost accountant over at Mullings.com, the thrice weekly cyber column. Unless it's August, then it's twice weekly. And he takes a whole third of a week off, I guess, every August, every week. And
my own personal sequester.
There you go. And he cuts his pay too, folks out here. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, he is of the Republican persuasion. In the interest of full disclosure, he spins to the right, as they say. But we are talking about the foreign policy of the Obama administration. And Rich, I want to continue just a little bit more on the Middle East, because I do want to get more of your perspective on that. And then I have another element of this that I wanted to ask you about. If we're pulling out of like 20-something locations in the Middle East, I mean, folks, if you see the map, it's just it's like a blanket over the Middle East, the wider Middle East. If we're and we've got hundreds and hundreds of prisoners that have been broken out of jails in Libya and Iraq, and I'm not sure where else. And you look around, yeah, Pakistan. And you look around, you see all this happening. The Egypt is basically under martial law. Syria is gassing their own people. 100,000 Syrians, innocent civilians, have been killed in that area. Iraq is in trouble, it seems to me. Pakistan doesn't like it. We're about to pull out of Afghanistan. This doesn't sound to me like the Obama administration's foreign policy is going well, and it worries me. As a citizen of America, of the West, I'll just say it that way, of the West.
Well, I mean, the first mistake is calling it a foreign policy. Policy presumes that there is some plan and some executable, parts of it that you can measure against and say this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. I mean, you couldn't run a business the way that the Obama administration is effectively trying to run the world. By sort of sitting back and let's see what happens, and then hope that you can skate past it. Egypt and Syria, the two examples you gave, are the best or the worst examples of where we are now. To the point that Secretary of State Kerry had to say out loud, he had to say that the army, the military, is not in charge in Egypt.
What?
Which is like Jerry Ford saying the Polish people are free.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you just roll your eyes and say,
I didn't
what?
Hear him say that. That's amazing.
It's over the weekend. And it's just, it's just, when you go, what are these guys thinking? And they don't have any, there's no actionable plan that makes any sense.
So, Rich, the whenever America is involved in these places, and it looks like maybe our thumb was a little too heavy on the scales one place or another, and people come after America for being, the ugly Americans and nation building, et cetera, et cetera. As we look back, wouldn't you think most, even maybe some pacifist Americans might be thinking, with all the mayhem that's going on over there and all the potential danger that could be fomenting over there, maybe people are saying, I wish we had some of that heavy thumb back a little bit right now.
Well, that's right. Ever since, you always go back to 9/11 because that was the pivot day when the oceans no longer protected us as
right.
They had, since our founding in 1789, that the or 1776, depending on when you count.
Mm-hmm.
The but now there's however many hundred flights a day coming from every place on the planet, and if you you are determined enough. You can probably figure out a way to sneak through,
right?
Not by starting in Yemen, but by starting in Singapore or someplace. I don't know how to do it because I'm not any good.
Right. Well, you find the weakest link out there across the world and start your person out there. They clear customs, they clear security,
and
they're off to the races.
Yep, exactly. So it's it is so. I think people, and I haven't seen any polling yet on this. But my suspicion is that, that people are, if they're not blaming the president, they are certainly uneasy about the lack of direction that the administration is taking on behalf of America. I mean, nobody else will do this but America. And if you, and if Americans don't want to do it, then these rogue, these bandits get to run
That's
around
right.
the world.
And they now, as you say, they now have the ability to go wherever they want to. So now, let me ask you this question. How do we go back into those places? How do we repopulate those embassies? When do we, you know, what is the trigger that causes us to go back? And well, and do we, I, when we go I, back, but, do we have our tail between our legs?
Well, this is part of the, this is part and parcel of that whole NSA story. That this is,
right.
You know, my guess is this is how they found this out. When they say there's a lot of chatter, that's how we know there's a lot of chatter, because yeah. the NSA picks this stuff out of the air. And almost, I mean, a huge percentage of internet traffic and telephone traffic,
right.
traffic travel through the U.S., whether the either party is in the U.S., and so we get to do that.
And now Putin has snubbed Obama by giving an asylum to Snowden, the NSA leaker.
Yeah,
I mean,
the,
this is insult to injury, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody who laughed at George W. Bush saying he looked into Putin's soul. I don't know
yeah.
what he saw, but there nobody's. I mean, nobody's applying the same standard to Obama,
yeah.
who insisted there was a reset in the relationship between Russia and the U.S. And if there has been, it certainly has turned out to be in Russia's favor. And I mean, there is no good reason.
Do you think President Obama is starting to realize that just because he says something? Doesn't make people do what he says?
You know, actually, we've talked about this before. Eisenhower said he could move a million men with a phone call during World War II, but when he was president, he couldn't get anybody to do anything.
Yeah, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
Tin Till, we don't need naive people in the White House, folks. That's just the truth. Tin Till, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.